I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Hi, I'm Madigan, and you're listening to Your Angry Neighborhood Feminist, a podcast that explores the world through a personal feminist perspective. Hi, everyone. How are we doing? Happy end of another week. I've got mostly updates for you today, but still very important things that I'm discussing, some very difficult topics that I'll be discussing today as well. So I'll be sure to give a little bit of warning before I talk about anything that may be too difficult for some listeners, but I just want to get right into it. So the first update that I want to give is what is going on with the Israel-Hamas conflict. What are any updates that have gone on in the past week? Because there have been a few. On Saturday, Joe Biden said that he believes Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is hurting Israel more than helping Israel, and how he's approaching the war on Gaza. And I could not agree more. Biden went on to say that the death toll in Gaza caused by the Israeli military is, quote, contrary to what Israel stands for. And I think it's a big mistake. Again, I couldn't agree more. When I think of a group of people that have been unbelievably persecuted in our world's history, it is the Jewish people. So, of course, they understand more than many others what genocide truly is, and they should understand what they are inflicting upon the people who are in the Gaza Strip. And I just want to clarify with that statement that I'm not saying that the Jewish people or even the civilians of Israel need to necessarily do something, but the Israeli government certainly does and has a responsibility to do so. Biden also said that the invasion of the city of Rafah would be a red line for him, but that didn't indicate what exactly it meant, because he is still maintaining his military aid and support for them, as well as trying to get humanitarian aid now to Gaza. Then on Sunday, speaking in Selma, Alabama, to commemorate the March on Selma in 1965, Vice President Kamala Harris delivered a statement on the war's death toll, saying, quote, "People in Gaza are starving. People in Gaza are starving. The conditions are inhumane, and our common humanity compels us to act. The Israeli government must do more to significantly increase the flow of aid. She even called for a ceasefire as well, something that many politicians have been hesitant to say. It even took AOC a really long time to say, which was very infuriating to me. Kamala went on saying, quote, Hamas claims it wants a ceasefire. Well, there is a deal on the table. And as we have said, Hamas needs to agree to that deal. Let's get a ceasefire. Let's reunite the hostages with their families. And let's provide immediate relief to the people of Gaza. She also laid out specific ways in which the Israeli government could allow more aid into Gaza. Quote, they must open new border crossings. They must not impose any unnecessary restrictions on the delivery of aid. They must ensure humanitarian personnel, sites, and convoys are not targeted, and they must work to restore basic services and promote order in Gaza so more food, water, and fuel can reach those in need. It just seems a little bit short-sighted to me, and I'm not super happy with these comments. But then I read an article from NBC News, and they are alleging that shortly before Kamala went out to deliver her remarks, officials in the National Security Council toned down parts of her speech, according to three current U.S. officials and a former U.S. official familiar with the speech. According to them, the initial draft was much harsher on Israel and about the dire humanitarian crisis occurring in Gaza and the need for more aid. One of them described her tone as being strong, but not controversial. The decision to water down Kamala's speech just shows how reluctant the White House still is to criticize the Israeli government in public. It's one of those allies that I feel like is really hard for our government to speak ill of or step away from. I think that that is the case with a lot of our allies. But I do also understand, because it's a line that I feel like I have had to understand and walk a little bit during this whole process, where I never want it to be conveyed that I have any ill will against Jewish people or the people who live in Israel, the civilians. I don't wish any ill will or harm to any living being. That is just not the person that I am. But it is hard for me to continually watch a nation that is so much more powerful and that has so many more allies, like the United States, which is like a military superpower that has its back, while the people of Gaza are just being absolutely squished and destroyed. It's just such an unbelievably infuriating conflict in place to be stuck, because Hamas does not want to release all of the hostages until Israel has agreed to pull out all of their military and their troops. And Israel has basically said, well, we will do that when you release the hostages. So I don't know how we are going to come to an agreement here, but there is more. When Kamala's communications director, Kirsten Allen, was asked about this, she responded that it was inaccurate and that the speech wasn't changed that much. Because, of course, edits were made and would always be made in these situations, as it's protocol for their speeches to go to the National Security Council and West Wing staff members for review, and a number of changes were made and edits were made up until the last minute, which is often the case with a live foreign issue like this, according to Allen. Starting on Monday, Kamala Harris met with a member of the Israeli Prime Minister's War Cabinet, Benny Gantz, in D.C., who apparently is also vying for the Prime Minister's position, and so there is a little bit of tension there. Interesting. Anyway, as they meet in Washington, mediators also meet in Egypt to discuss the outlines of a potential agreement between Hamas and Israel. Qatar, who is engaged in mediation between the two, hopes that a truce can be reached before the end of Ramadan next month. This year, Ramadan will end either on April 9th or 10th, as the end is determined by the moon signifying the start of the next month. It's very strange to hear from Qatar as being somewhat of a neutral zone in this situation. So that's pretty much where we are at. There is still this impending doom hanging over the heads of the people in Gaza due to the looming attacks in Rafah. That could very well occur. The Israeli government wants more hostages to be released, or else they will be attacking that city next. And I have nothing left to say. All I can really do is just keep giving you all the updates because my feelings haven't changed. I'm still infuriated and saddened every single day.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/realm.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
All right, the next update that I want to give is also very devastating. I'm going to be talking about suicide in this next topic. So if you want to skip to the very end, I don't blame you. To skip ahead to the next topic, go ahead to about 17 minutes and 23 seconds. Times may vary due to ads. Because this week, more information came out about the death of Nex Benedict. According to their autopsy, it wasn't murder at all, and it was reported by the medical examiner that they died by suicide. For those who need a reminder, Nex was the non-binary teen who was brutally attacked in the bathroom at their school by three other students. Yet somehow, Nex went to the hospital with these injuries, but was sent home that night, and the next morning, as they were about to leave for another doctor's appointment, they collapsed and unfortunately passed away. And I was initially so infuriated when I saw that the autopsy results came back as a suicide. And I really wish that these headlines would give us a little secondary caption underneath with a little bit more information, because my first instinct was that this was a cover-up in some way. How could this young person have died if not for these terrible traumatic injuries that they sustained? And they were a lot of head injuries as well, if you'll remember from last week's episode. So my initial reaction was to be really, really fucking pissed off about the way that this autopsy resulted. And I really, really wanted to get my hands on the entire document to be able to read it for myself, but apparently it won't be released until March 27th, and I will definitely want to be tracking that down, not for any sort of nefarious purposes or for any voyeuristic purposes, really, but because this case is just so incomprehensible to me that I feel like I need some answers in order to help myself move on from having heard this story. I need more answers. Anyway, The Owosso police performed a search where they collected 137 pictures of the school. They collected two swabs of stains from the bathroom, as well as records and documents related to all of the students involved. School staff and students were also interviewed by detectives. The cause of death in the initial autopsy report cited that Next died from taking a combination of medications. This past Wednesday, police said that they had suspected suicide throughout the course of their investigation, but had waited for the autopsy to make a definitive statement. And again, when I initially heard the statement from police that they were like, oh, we figured it was suicide, I immediately thought that they were brushing this murder under the rug. But again, like I said, I continued looking into it, and there may be more to the story. If I were to speculate, and trigger warning, I'm not going to get too graphic as always, but I am about to speculate about what could have potentially happened to Nex after they came home from the hospital. And if I were to speculate, Nex came home from their attack, went to sleep, and most likely sometime in the night or early morning took a lethal combination of allergy medication and an antidepressant, likely to be Prozac. We do know that much, at least from the autopsy. And possibly in a lethal mix with their head injuries, they passed away. I really didn't see this coming, and I was so mad when the autopsy results were released. But this makes me just as angry. The fact that a teenage child would be treated so horribly, be so terribly beaten and ridiculed and bullied, that it led them to taking their own life. In my opinion, the blood is still on the hands of the students who attacked them, who need to take appropriate responsibility for their actions. And more importantly, the school system that allowed this kind of behavior and bullying to happen on their watch, and for not adequately punishing the students who had been bullying Nex effectively before it could have reached such a violent incident. On March 1st, the Office for Civil Rights Division of the U.S. Department of Education informed the Human Rights Campaign that they were opening an investigation into the Oklahoma School District, and specifically whether they failed to appropriately respond to alleged harassment of students in a manner consistent with the requirements of Title IX and Title II. Title IX is the name used for the landmark federal civil rights law in the United States that was enacted as part of the Education Amendments of 1972, which prohibits sex-based discrimination in any school or any other educational program that receives funding from the federal government. And Title II is there to provide supplemental activities to strengthen the quality and effectiveness of teachers, principals, and other school leaders in a variety of ways, including providing low-income and minority students greater access to effective teachers and other school staff. HRC President Kelly Robinson wrote to the U.S. Secretary of Education requesting their own investigation into Owosso High School and whether the school had, quote, unlawfully failed to address the discrimination and harassment to which Nex was subjected. A spokesperson for the district spoke out on March 1st, stating that the district is, quote, committed to cooperation with federal officials and believes that the complaint submitted by the HRC is not supported by the facts and is without merit. I highly suggest that you either re-listen to last week's episode or brush up on the information about this whole situation. And if you didn't listen to last week's episode, certainly go back and listen to this story in particular. And then I want you to tell me if you feel like the Human Rights Campaign doesn't have grounds to investigate this high school in particular for the way that they handled the fight, the injuries, the aftermath of this situation, and potentially even how they handled things before this incident, like I said, because I think that that is just as important, that things should not have gotten to this level where this type of attack could have occurred. Owosso Public Schools sent out a letter at the end of February after Nex's death, saying that they would be increasing the number of security personnel within the district, update their safety drills and rules, and provide additional counseling services for students affected by the death. Security is only going to help if they're sympathetic to the plight of a gender non-conforming student. We know historically that authority figures do not always take kindly to minority groups, and this would not necessarily have helped Nex in the bullying aspect, but it could have been beneficial while they were being attacked in the bathroom had they decided to step in. Over-policing schools is not the answer, period. And what do safety drills have anything to do with this situation? Unless it is a guide for teachers, staff, and students on what to do when you witness bullying. I'm glad that they have brought in more counselors to help with the students' grief, but what they really need are counselors who are there permanently, who have a deep understanding for a variety of issues that teenagers go through from a variety of backgrounds and circumstances. My school counselors didn't even understand my anxiety disorder when I was growing up, and I'm sure the counselors today are not necessarily sympathetic to people like Nex. In the aftermath, a hotline run by the Indianapolis-based Rainbow Youth Project reported receiving over 200 calls from Oklahoma specifically in the weekend following Nex's death, more than three times the usual amount from that location. Many of them mentioned Nex's name in particular, and most reported having been bullied themselves. According to the Trevor Project website, LGBTQ+ students are more than four times as likely to attempt suicide compared to their straight and cisgender peers. LGBTQ+ youth experience bullying at a significantly greater rate, and a recent study showed that between 2011 and 2019, an average of 20% of U.S. high school students reported in-person bullying and 15% reported electronic bullying. So, most likely bullying over texting or social media, so on and so forth. In a survey from 2021, more specifically, 52% of middle or high school-aged LGBTQ+ kids reported being bullied within the past year. Bullying was reported at higher rates in middle schools at 65% than in high schools, which was at 49%. Trans and non-binary students reported higher rates of bullying compared to cisgender and LGBTQ students at a rate of 61%. Those who are Native or Indigenous, like Nex, are at a 70% chance of suicide. Those students who reported being bullied had three times greater odds of attempting suicide. But in comparison, LGBTQ+ students who reported their schools to be LGBTQ+ affirming had 30% lower odds of being bullied. Research shows that states with anti-bullying laws that specifically consider sexual orientation to be associated with lower odds of student suicides attempt compared to states with anti-bullying laws that do not mention LGBTQ+ identities are overall much more beneficial to LGBTQ+ youth. But, duh. As I said last week, rest in peace, Nex. I really do hope that within this tragedy, more change can be made, more policies can be changed, schools can be investigated and changed. This whole situation just really hurts my heart. Okay, lastly, I had to get something a little bit more fun in there. Olivia Rodrigo's team worked in partnership with local advocacy groups to hand out free emergency contraceptive pills and condoms at her concerts recently. This charitable act that she's doing for her Guts tour is part of her Fund for Good initiative, which aims to ensure an equitable and just future for all women, girls, and people seeking reproductive health freedom. The advocacy groups set up tables outside the concert venues with pamphlets, information, and resources as well. And a portion of the proceeds from all ticket sales from each leg of her North American tour is going toward the National Network of Abortion Funds, a network of 100 funds that help people seek abortion access. And my girl Olivia has been very vocal on her stance in regards to reproductive justice for a while. Back in 2022, during her performance at Glastonbury Music Festival, shortly after the overturning of Roe v. Wade, she joined Lily Allen in singing their song, Fuck You, and dedicated it to the U.S. Supreme Court justices and named them all. She then said, quote, I'm devastated and terrified. So many women and so many girls are going to die because of this. I wanted to dedicate this next song to the five members of the Supreme Court who have showed us that at the end of the day, they truly don't give a shit about freedom. And we fucking love to see it. This is how you use your powers for good. Way to go, Olivia. All right, that's all I have for you lovely listeners today. I do want to give you all a quick Patreon update before I plug it. I am going to be working on a new episode for next week. It finally looks like I have a little bit more time to work on my own show, which is fabulous. And if you want to join me over on Patreon and donate to the show in order for me to continue to do it and continue to improve it, go to patreon.com/angryneighborhoodfeminist or click on the link in the show notes. There are two different tiers over there for you to choose from. And there is so much content on there already. I've had Patreon for a little over a year. So if you have never visited, there is tons of stuff for you over there to binge and listen to that you have never heard before. So go and enjoy. I really, really, really appreciate it. And then also the best thing, apparently I decided to record this episode right at garbage and delivery time because there has been truck sounds and beeping like crazy and oh my God, I'm almost done. Let me do this. Anyway, another fantastic way that you can support the show is through word of mouth. So tell your friends about the show, send someone an episode that you think that they would enjoy. And even better than that, you can go to your Apple Podcast app and leave a 5-star review with a quick sentence about why you enjoy the show. It truly, truly does help so, so much. And I really do appreciate it. And you can also rate the show on Spotify because that doesn't hurt, you know? Okay, that is all that I have for you lovely people today. With all that being said, I encourage you to rage on. Bye.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.